Antigone Magazine, Issue 9. Women with Disabilities. Being a Woman with a Disability, a Review of the Canadian Reality, by Raquel Baldwinson. What is it about women with disabilities that deserves special attention? It might not be obvious to you that disability is gendered. However, a disabled woman experiences life differently than a healthy woman, and also differently than a disabled man. While the experiences of disabled women are not often discussed by women's organizations or by the able-bodied population, women with disabilities are one of the most victimized groups in society, facing increased rates of abuse and poverty, discernible barriers, and deficiencies in social services. The discrimination of women with disabilities is a product of the marginalization of women on top of the marginalization of the disabled, and is augmented when combined with other marginalized identities. Violence. One issue that affects women with disabilities in disproportionate rates is violence. The Disabled Women's Network of Canada, DAWN, first discovered the extent of the problem in a survey conducted in 1988. The results were conclusive. The biggest concern, the biggest fear that women with disabilities experienced was not health, not illness, but abuse. 40% of the disabled women surveyed testified to having been raped, abused, or assaulted. A more recent Roher Institute study, Harm's Way, 1995, revealed that 60% of women with disabilities will experience abuse in their lifetime. Girls with disabilities are at an even higher risk. Shireen Razak's 1994 study, From Consent to Responsibility, From Pity to Respect, tells us that the rate of sexual abuse for girls with disabilities is 4 times that of the national average for girls without disabilities. Women with disabilities also experience a greater range of abuse, from neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, and financial exploitation. Abuse can be an active or passive thing, such as the withholding of the administration of food and medicine. The abuse is often committed by someone the woman depends on for care. It is almost always male to female, and the abusers tend to capitalize on intersecting power dynamics at play. Abled versus disabled, male versus female, socially respected versus socially abject, independent versus dependent. For example, Atanas Doe and Sally Kimson study in 1999 revealed that women with disabilities living in group homes, institutions, or foster families have an increased chance of being abused, likely because of their dependence on others for support. This serious problem escapes our radar. According to the International Network of Women with Disabilities document on violence against women with disabilities, 2010, only 30% of cases are even reported, while 49% of men with disabilities report. In some cases, this is because the woman is unable to communicate her report to a shelter or to social services. Many shelters do not have adaptive communication methods in place, and many more lack the capacity to assist a woman with special needs. In some cases, she has no recourse to justice because her caregiver is her abuser, or even because she knows she will not be believed. Poverty. According to Statistics Canada, a gender-based statistical approach, 2006, the unemployment rate for women with disabilities has been identified as being as high as 75%, while the corresponding rate for men with disabilities is 40%. Unemployed and employed disabled women combined live off of an average of $8,360 a year, while the disabled man earns $19,250 a year. Women with disabilities also experience increased expenses involved in adapting their environments to suit them. Such costs can be substantial, involving adaptive transportation, medicine, hearing aids, therapy, assistive machinery, caretaking, translator costs, special clothing, and more. Women with disabilities are at an increased rate for homelessness. Street Health, Failing the Homeless, an Ontario-based study, shows that the Ontario provincial government's failure to adequately support disabled people leads to homelessness. The Hanif, Cleofa, and Kerr study, Women with Disabilities in Urban Environments, 2005, reveals that one-third of homeless populations consists of individuals with mental health issues, most of them women. A study conducted by Shirley Masuda of Dawn in 1995 demonstrates a positive correlation between suicide committed by disabled women and poverty. Some explanations for the suicide cited in the article are oppressive social situations, such as violence, poverty, and a perceived attitude that they were better off dead. Social policy and legislation play a large role in this systemic problem. Women with disabilities are 3 times more likely to rely on government services than are men with disabilities. As a result, it makes sense that cutbacks in social funding across Canada affect more disabled women than men. These are cutbacks in welfare, public job training programs, and home care coverage that occur on the provincial and federal levels. In the course of the current Conservative administration, huge cutbacks have been made to social programs that work to alleviate the poverty that affects disabled women. Stigmatized disabilities. Don't you know that there is a hierarchy of disability? Bonnie Brayton, the executive director of Dawn, says that she has had to pose this question time and time again to those who have difficulty grasping the difference between the male disabled experience and the female disabled experience. The kinds of disabilities that are more common in women are usually chronic, invisible, or episodic. Women also experience more mental illnesses than men do. These illnesses are more stigmatized. A hierarchy of disability emerges as these more female disabilities are viewed with skepticism and disdain. Diane Dredger of Dawn explains, "Chronic illnesses are definitely a woman's issue. Many illnesses such as depression, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, and multiple sclerosis affect women more than men. And it goes without saying that since it is mostly women who occupy the lowest rungs of the hierarchy, it is they who become sick trying to do it all. And it is women who are not believed and discounted when they get sick." Dredger suggests that women with invisible disabilities often develop them or exacerbate them because of the pressure of oppressive social situations. For example, more First Nations, Inuit, and Métis women than non-Aboriginal women live with disability, according to the Canadian Research Institute for the Advancement of Women 2007 periodical. Women who experience multiple burdensome responsibilities, such as work, homemaking, and mothering, all at once, may also find that their situation augments the chronic illnesses they experience, such as anxiety and depression. Brayton explains that chronic illness disabilities are gendered because women are expected to do everything for everyone except herself. This kind of stress can complicate disabilities. It can even produce them. Denied access. Accommodation is not just about the obvious. It is about making things possible for every woman, suggests Brayton. She adds that proper accommodation covers all aspects of accessibility, from environmental sensitivity issues, to attendant care issues, to mental health issues, to help for mothers with disabilities. Inaccessibility is a huge issue for women with disabilities. Brayton runs an initiative called Leadership Letters. In these letters, she writes to Canadian organizations and interrogates the accessibility of their services. It is surprising, Brayton says, how so many still believe that accommodation is just a matter of building architecture. Accessibility involves ensuring that women with disabilities can take full advantage of services. Dawn's National Accommodation and Accessibility Survey, NAS, looks at women's shelters. Surprisingly, only about one quarter, 22% of shelters. Surprisingly, only about one quarter, 22% of shelters provided TTY or TDD equipment, which is specially equipped telephones, for people who are hearing impaired. 17% provided sign language or interpretation services. 17% provided large print reading materials to people who are visually impaired, and 5% provided Braille reading materials. Canadian medical services are another major site of inaccessibility for women with disabilities. Brayton reveals that many doctors have difficulty dealing with women who are both pregnant and disabled. Further, she tells us that STD testing and sexual health is rarely addressed for women with a disability. It is just assumed that she doesn't have sex. In sum, women with disabilities are a very real group, experiencing very real poverty, violence, discrimination, and alienation. Women with disabilities get hit harder by disability because they are women. In addition, women actually get more invisible chronic disabilities because they are women. The categories of woman and disabled person intersect and augment one another. Disability needs feminism. Feminism needs to advocate for disability.